Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for every person that is here today. And Father, here's my prayer that this morning, I know there are tremendous needs in the body of Christ in every church. And I know that there are needs here. People are ill and they're sick or they've been hurt or whatever. But Lord, this morning, I pray that we're able to remove the focus of us, just where we're not focusing on ourselves, but where we focus on others. Help me to teach the word that you have given me, Lord, and may it penetrate into each heart, and may it stay there, and may we act upon it and just not hear it. Lord, for all those that we pray for daily at Calvary, those that are ill in their body, we continue to lift up. You know who they are, Lord. You know the ones that we pray for daily. I know you're with them. Encourage them. Bring healing to them, Father. Provide every need for every person. And Lord, this morning, those that are listening live and those that are in this chapel, if they do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, Lord, please, somehow, some way, save them this morning. We love you, we praise you, we honor you this day in Jesus' name, and we all say amen. Amen. Let's turn to the New Testament this morning to the Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. Now, we're going to be jumping around. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 28, then we're going to go to Acts chapter 1 and 2, and then we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Those three texts this morning, maybe not in that order, but especially Matthew chapter 28 will be our first text. You know, I want to talk to you this morning as we remove the focus of ourselves and place it on others. I want to talk to you from the sermon topic of they are waiting on you. Say that with me. They are waiting on you. That's a very, very important word. Potential. Remember, we started off our new year, the new year's word, potential 2013. The possibility of becoming all that you really are in Christ Jesus. And that's what we want to accomplish by, not in our power, not by our grace, but by His grace and His power. Amen? There's so many of us, you know, we're existing, we have all that we need, we're ready for action, but we're just not active. We're sedentary. We're not doing all that God can be using us for, even though that we have the power to do it. So the decision for 2013, as we've been talking about, is the fact is, are we really want to be all that we're capable of becoming in Christ? Now, I usually, when I talk about potential, I always ask us a couple of questions. And to challenge you, to challenge myself, because we're the church. We have the answer to the lost world. Amen? We have the answer for every man, boy and woman, girl, whatever. We have the answer. His name is Jesus Christ. Now, with all that being said, how far do we, down the road, are we really willing to go with Jesus? Come on, let's, you know, religious this morning. I'm provoking us all and I'm provoking myself. How far? Part of the way? All the way? You know, we want to, for example, how much of the cross are we really willing to take up? Just a piece of it? Or are we really saying, Lord, I'm just going to lay down my life. I'll do whatever you want to do. Listen, those are hard things in a way for all of us to deny ourselves because we love ourselves. You know what I mean? But the thing that I want to talk to you about this morning that God has laid on my heart so heavily, I want to talk to you about our missions, evangelism, and soul winning. I want to talk to, it's very important that we grasp that this morning, because we will never, ever reach our true potential if we're not a soul winner. Amen? And not only that, think of the thousands of people every second that are perishing all over the world and how old do we need the gospel to be gotten out. And you know what? It'll never be, unless we do it, it won't happen. Vance Havner, one of the old preachers, he's gone now. He said this. He said, we are no longer fishers of men, but we have become keepers of the aquarium. It's a very true word. He goes on and he says, and with a multitude of duties, church programs, committee meetings, church activities, soul winning is no longer the priority of the church. Many of our churches are nothing more than sacred societies for the snubbing of sinners. Boy, listen, that's a true word. And I look at that and say, I don't want to be a part of that. I don't want that. Amen? No, not at all. He's right. Did you know statistics show, listen very carefully, that 95% of all Christians will never lead one person to faith in Jesus Christ in their entire lifetime. 95%. Think about that for a minute. Listen, we want to, let's get in the five, at least let's be in the 5%. Amen? The ones that are working and serving and doing the thing. And you know, I started thinking about that. That's the latest survey. 95% of Christians. And no wonder that we are now living in a post-Christian nation. Why? Well, because the majority of the church, meaning believers, meaning you, meaning me, the believers, what have they done? They have pawned the Great Commission. They have pawned soul winning off to others. Let that never, ever be said about us, because sharing Christ with the world, with other people, listen, is the responsibility of every Christian. Amen? You remember at the beginning of Jesus' public ministry, when he went out, he was preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And he came, it says, along there at the Galilee, the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two brothers, Andrew and Simon, and they were fishing. They were taking care of their nets. And he told them in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, he said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." It says in the Bible that immediately they left their nets and followed Jesus. That's a wise decision. Amen? But did you notice that Jesus said, "Listen, follow me"? There's the two disciples. Now listen, that's the beginning of the church. Are you following me? That's the beginning. He's choosing the 12, the ones that are going to be with him. And no one knew it. The world didn't know it. Mankind didn't even realize what was happening. And he called men. He said, "Come. Follow me. Travel with me. I have a purpose for you. I have a plan for you. I have a destiny for you. I will make you." You don't have to make yourself. He says, "I will make you fishers of men." Listen, their first work, the first work of the disciples were what? Fishers of men. What does that mean? It means that the lost, they're out there right now and they are waiting on you. They're waiting on each of you. You have the answer living in your heart that you can share with those that do not know Jesus Christ. Amen? It is our responsibility. Jesus said in Mark 16:15, he says, "Go into all the world," not part of it, but all the world, "and preach the gospel," the good news. He said, "to every creature." Now listen, we have to go. They don't come to us. We have to go to them. Amen? That's the way it works. Now listen very carefully. They're out there and they're waiting on you. You have what they need. You have the answer living inside of you. Now listen, this is not an option. It is an obligation. This is not a choice to be considered. It is a command from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this church, this generation that we're in, which may be the last generation, "For the night is coming when no man can work," Jesus said. This may be it. We don't know. But I do know this. We must ask ourselves, if God is not willing that any should perish, not one, he's not willing that any should perish, but all men would come to repentance, that all men would trust in Christ. That's God's heart. Can we have a different heart than God? Can we have a different mindset than God? Huh? No, absolutely not. In 3 weeks, 3 Sundays, we're going to come together and we're going to join the rest of the Christian world and we're going to be celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I certainly pray that you're bringing someone to that service who's lost, hurt, lonely, doesn't know the Lord, backslidden, whatever it might be. But you know what? When Jesus rose from the dead, defeated death and hell and the devil and sin and rose from the dead. Now listen, was that it? In other words, is the end of the story, he is risen and that was all of it? No. Listen, he is risen. Why do we stop there? Thank God he's risen from the dead. But that's only the beginning. Once Christ came out of the empty tomb, praise God, it was a whole new day, a brand new morning, if you will, a new beginning to give others a new beginning in their life. Now listen, it should not end there. We should do what the Lord says. Look at verse 18 of Matthew chapter 28. "And then Jesus came and spoke to them," meaning the disciples. This was after the resurrection, "saying, 'All authority has been given to me in two places, heaven and earth.'" In other words, the entire universe, everything that exists. Now look what he tells us to do. "Go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, 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 even to the end of the age, the end of time. Listen, how close are we? How close are we? Oh, I'm excited about teaching through the book of Revelation again. That makes me excited just thinking about it. You know, when that meteorite or whatever that went through and hit Russia, remember, just a few weeks back? Man, I was thinking, come on, one more, come on. Not that I want to hurt anybody, but I was just thinking, maybe it's getting ready. You know, the signs are in the sky, praise God. It's going to be an exciting time. This is not our home, loved one. Jesus really is coming, and we don't know when, but I do know this. Until he comes, he said, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of time, into the end of the age. Now listen, when he told the disciples that, you know what it says in the book of Mark, what happened? Let me tell you in Mark 16:20, where it says, and the disciples went out and they preached everywhere. Now listen very carefully. The Lord working with them. Well, the risen Lord, he was in heaven. But the Lord was working with them, confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. Now listen, the resurrection of Jesus Christ authorizes each believer that's listening live right now, and you that are sitting in this chapel, authorizes you, you go. You have the authority. Jesus said, I command you, you have my authority. My authority is going to go with you. I am going to go with you as well. Now I'm going to ask you a question. How does God, who loves every person on this planet, do you agree with that? God loves everyone, amen? God hates sin, but he doesn't hate the sinner. He sent his only begotten son to die for sinners, amen? Yes. So how does God reach a world that is so, this culture that is so messed up? How does he, from generation to generation, how is he going to do it? They're waiting on you. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's look at something quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And let's begin, let's look at verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Paul the Apostle says this. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, brand new, born again. And he says, old things, they've passed away. All that old junk in our lives, the shame, the guilt, the sin, it's gone. And behold, all things have become new. Now watch this. What does a new creation do? Watch this now. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given unto whom? Us. They are waiting on you. Are you listening to me? Have given unto us a ministry. Look at the ministry that God has given to each of us. The ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation means there is a way to God. There's a way back to God for someone who is lost. Amen? His name is Jesus Christ. Now watch what he does. That is that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word. The word. We have the word of reconciliation. Think of it. We have the word living in our hearts, and it's ready right there on our tongues. We have the word. Now watch this now. How does God reach out to a world, out to people that are hurting right now? People that are abandoned, they don't know what to do. People that are experimenting with every kind of drug under the sun, chasing all types of pleasure and never having any pleasure, living a joyless life but trying to find joy. He uses what? He uses you. Look what it says in verse 20. Now then, we are what? Ambassadors. And look who we're ambassadors for. Ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. Did you hear that? God pleading through the heart of the believer. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Now listen to me. If this is the cry of God our Father to the world, should it not be the cry of the church? Amen? Yes, absolutely. Listen, we are his representatives now. We are his ambassadors. He says, you go, you have my authority. You go, you have my power. You go in my name. We have a message. It says we have the word of reconciliation. We have a message to proclaim. Jesus loves you. God sent Jesus to die for you, to die for your sins, that you might have everlasting life. Oh, dear God, why does that, that's so simple yet so incredible. Amen? I look and I say, oh, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. Listen, did you know that they are waiting on you? The lost right now, they don't know that, but they're waiting on you. And you know what? God is waiting on you to go because he's commanded us to do so. Now listen, you know the scripture in Luke 19:10 where it talks about the Son of Man. Jesus said the Son of Man has come to seek and to save what? The lost. That's listen, God has always been and will always be the great missionary, okay? And I look at that and I say, oh, Lord, we're following you, right? And here's the deal. Is it a commandment for us to be his witnesses? Yes. Okay, now listen. If you, Christian, I love you. I'm provoking you. I'm not mad at you. God's not mad at you. I'm not trying to beat you up. I am challenging you, okay? If you are not fishing, you are not following Jesus. I don't care how you want to add that up. I mean, today, you know, so many people want to come to the churches today and just, I want you to make me feel good when I leave. Well, I don't do that. I just teach God's word. And if it makes you feel good, praise the Lord. If it doesn't, take it up with the Lord. It's not about us being happy. It's about us doing the will of God on this planet. We're only here for a brief moment. And then it's gone. It's over. We only have enough time to win this generation. We don't have any more time. This is our generation that God has given us. Now listen, so if you're not fishing, how can we be on the road with the Lord, following him? You know, listen, someone led you to Christ. That's why you're a believer. Amen? Well, why did they do that? Why did someone, you know why they led you to Christ? Someone led them to Christ. Well, why did that happen? Well, someone led them to Christ. Are you following me? I'm so thankful. Aren't you thankful that you're saved? Aren't you thankful for that person that led you, whether it was over the radio or TV ministry or in a church or an individual, a youth camp, wherever it was? Have you ever forgotten that? I've never forgotten it. I'll never forget that day. Never. I'll never forget that moment when I was born from above. Never. When Jesus, all of a sudden, the veil was lifted. It was taken away. And I knew that God was real. Didn't know one thing about the Bible. Didn't know anything. Didn't know one thing. I didn't know there were 66 books. I didn't even know there were different type Bibles. You know, King James or whatever they had, all the other versions. Now they've got millions of them. I didn't know. I had no idea. But I'll tell you what. I knew that Jesus was real. And I knew that something had happened to me. And I knew that when I read the Word of God, it started coming alive in my heart. That's what happens when you become a new creation. Now listen to me very carefully. I want us this morning, I want each person here that belongs to Calvary Chapel, I want you to forever remove false thinking about missions and soul winning and evangelism, okay? Listen, I hear it all the time, you know, about missions. I'm taking God to Africa. No, you're not. God's already in Africa. God is waiting on you to get to Africa. Why? Because there are those that are already waiting on you that they don't know they're waiting on you, so you can do your job. Are you listening to me? Listen, missions and soul winning and evangelism is not about you. It's about other people. Amen? And boy, if we get that into our hearts. Listen, slow down, Bill. Just slow down. We're not taking God to Mexico. No, but God is waiting on the mission team that leaves next week to go to Mexico. And you know what? There are children down there that they're going to love and they're going to minister to. And you know what? They're waiting. They're waiting right this minute. And here's the deal. They don't know that they're going to come to Christ, but they will. They're waiting. They're waiting on you because you have the answer to what they need. Because we are God's ambassadors. We're God's representatives. We're doing the work of God on this earth. Thank God for our mission in Mexico. Amen? Thank God for the wonderful support that we receive, not only here, but from coast to coast that helps us to help that wonderful orphanage there and so forth. Now listen, our mission field is not just south of the border though, is it? No, our mission field is right here. You know, and your relatives, your family, your friends, your neighbors, your workplace, your school place, where you're in college, wherever you are. Listen, it's not our job to persuade people to receive Jesus. That's not our job. You don't persuade people. God didn't call us to persuade anybody. Our job is to do one thing. Just share the good news that God loves you. Jesus loves you. He died for you. Just share the hope that you have in you. Tell them how God's changed your life. You're a witness. That's all it is. And you know, we don't have to persuade them at all. Now listen, we do that all in the power of another, the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Now listen very carefully. We have the same Holy Spirit and the same power that's found in the book of Acts chapter 1 and 2. Amen? There's not any difference in that at all. And Jesus, you know, there where he transfers the mission of the church or to the Christians, the mission to save, he's endued us with that power that we need. Turn with me to Acts chapter 1 and let's look at something. Jesus there, he's the resurrected Lord. He's getting ready to ascend back into heaven and be seated at the right hand of God where he is right now and where he is making intercession for you and intercession for me. And he told the disciples, he said, you tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from upon high. And he's telling them one more time. He says, stay there. And look at Acts chapter 1 verse 8. And Jesus spoke to them and here's what he said. He says, you shall receive what? Power. That word is dunamis. Now, we get our word dynamite, but back then there was no such thing as dynamite. So you don't ever say that I'm going to explode everywhere. In other words, God's going to use me. I just start exploding all over the place. That has nothing to do with this scripture. It says you will receive the ability. You will receive God's power, the power of God, the power of Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And he tells us when. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now listen, you will receive power when you graduate from seminary, you're ordained into the ministry, when you get your act together, when you speak in other tongues. Absolutely not. It says you're going to receive this power to be what? Witnesses. Jesus's witnesses, if you will. To me in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and watch this, and to the end of the earth, or it could be translated, to the last of mankind. So all of this power, he fills us to overflowing. Listen, when we come to the Lord, Jesus comes to live where? In our hearts. That in the Greek, that's E-N. He comes in our hearts. Now, when we're born again, the Holy Spirit, we're not only sealed with the Holy Spirit, we've not only been baptized in the body of Christ by the Spirit, placed into the body, that's a new birth, but we've also, the Holy Spirit is now paraclete or para alongside of us. He's here right now. But not only that, it says when the Holy Spirit, what does it say, comes where? Upon you. Where he overflows you. He fills you. Listen, church, there's nothing needed more today than the baptismal measure of the Holy Spirit of God. You understand? And I look at this and say, oh, Lord. Now, let me say something to you. Based on this one text, and I can prove what I'm saying, by the way. Based on this one text, we can conclude something about Pentecost. That was the day when the church was birthed, okay? The day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. Now, listen. We can conclude then that the purpose of Pentecost was number one, to birth the church. Number two was to endue it with power. But then it tells us the purpose. The purpose was world evangelism. Are you following me? It's so we could be his witnesses all over the world. Now, therefore, we can conclude with a question. Is the task of world evangelism over? Okay, if it's not over, then the promise of being endued with power, the same power that they have, is valid for us today and Christ's work on earth. No other religion on earth imparts to the believer power. Just their teaching, but not their power. We have the power. And you know, listen to me now. The Feast of Pentecost, or Pentecost, was a feast day. It was a harvest day. It was literally a harvest. And that's what it was all about. You know, the results of the first outpouring was a harvest of 3,000 souls. Now look at that. Look at, just turn and look at Acts chapter 2. Look at all these people that came to the Lord here. Down to verse 41. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. the results, this harvest of 3,000 people. It says, then those who gladly received his word, meaning Peter, the first gospel message ever preached in the church, okay? They received it, were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Can you imagine the first mega church? Think about that, man. Listen carefully. I want to say something to you. It's very important that you get this. You know, the gifts of the Spirit are so needed, and we believe in all the gifts of the Spirit at Calvary Chapel. But listen to me very carefully. It saddens me and it hurts me. You know, tongues is a wonderful gift here, because you read Acts chapter 2, they spake with other tongues and so forth. That's wonderful, and that's a wonderful gift. But listen to me. It saddens me today that, you know, when people start talking about Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 3 and 1 and all the rest of it, it saddens me that the purpose of Pentecost is more associated with speaking in tongues than it is with winning the lost. Do you understand the difference? See, the purpose of Pentecost, listen, I know a lot of people that speak and have a prayer language, they've never led one person to the Lord. The purpose of being endued with power from on high is so you can be a what? A witness. To go forth and share Jesus Christ and go in his power. Boy, how do we need that? Listen, there is a harvest. There is a harvest that's waiting for us. They are waiting for you. They are waiting for each and every one of you. And all you have to do is go. And our area is so, so ripe. You remember Jesus when he was there waiting at the noon hour for the woman at the well in John chapter 4. Jesus, see, he's always waiting on somebody. He wants to save you. Amen. He so loves you. He so loves everyone. And then at the noon, you know, the woman came up and so forth. And later on, the disciples came back and they marveled that he had talked with the Samaritan woman. And Jesus looked at his disciples and he said this. He says, do not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. He says, don't say that. He said, behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields. That's what we need to do. Look up and look at the fields, Jesus said, for they are already white for the harvest. Now listen, and they are waiting on you. They're waiting on the ambassadors of Christ to go and share that wonderful word of reconciliation with them, to share the good news of the gospel. You remember when Paul was there, and he, in Corinth, and he had been so beaten up so badly. And I know Paul was discouraged there. It's in Acts chapter 18 is where the area I'm thinking of. And I know that Paul wanted to just kind of just say, I can't, you know, I've been beaten. I've been put in jail. I'm cut up. I mean, I'm just beat to a pulp. And the Lord appeared to Paul in a vision by night and said to Paul, he said, Paul, he said, I am with you. Well, that's a great thing, isn't it? He said, Paul, I am with you. And listen to what God, the Lord Jesus told him. He said, no one will attack you. No one will hurt you, Paul, in this city. Now listen to what Jesus said. For I have many people in this city. I'm going to ask you a question. Does Jesus have many people in our city? Now that means people that are not saved. Are you understanding me? People that don't know the Lord. People that are right now, they're snorting something, or they're putting something into their veins, or they're wallowing in drunkenness, or lusting with sex, or whatever they're doing. They're empty and they're lonely and God loves them. And they're waiting on you. Oh, there mean sometimes. Yes, I know that. And you know what? They don't have maybe a kind word. They call you a Bible thumper or Jesus freak or whatever. So what? You're a big boy, big girl. You can take that, can't you? Okay, this side can. You're a bunch of wimps, all right? No, listen. And I say, oh, Lord, you know, I look at that and I say, oh, there's many people here. They're lost. They're just waiting. There are many people right now just waiting on you. You have the answer. You have the answer in your heart. There's so many lonely people. I get calls all the time. You know, the truth is, I just deal with most of it. I don't deal with happy people. Nobody comes to my office. I just drop by to tell you, I'm doing great, Bill. Nobody calls me and says, hey, man, praise the Lord, it's a great day. See you later. No, they're hurting. They're wounded. Why was I sexually abused? Why am I pregnant? Why did he leave me? Why does he beat me? The world calls here all the time. We have the answer. Are you listening to me? Oh, when I look at this and I say, oh, Lord, they are waiting on you. You know, we are fulfilling the global command, okay, with our missions. You know, about we know what we're doing. We're in Mexico and so forth. And so we're fulfilling our global command. But my question is, what are we doing about our local missions? Out and so forth. You know, that was not too long ago. I met with the board and I said, hey guys, I said, listen, our outreach is just literally, we're no longer outreaching and we can't live in these four walls. We have to go out. Amen. And so I said, let's take that old bus, you know, the big bus out here, you know, one that's broken down about 90% of the time. I said, maybe we ought to take all the seats out of it, except for about four or five, and build in cabinets, and we can put blankets and have coffee that's strapped in, you know, where hot coffee and put food and go downtown Fort Worth, you know, and we can, you know, when they get out of jail or whatnot, you know, when you get out of jail downtown Fort Worth, they just let you out. I don't care if it's raining, freezing. I don't care if you have a coat, shoes, money, nothing. I said, we could set up something there. Or we could go to the homes. We could do this. We could do that. But then I found out that the thing is such a piece of junk, it wouldn't be worth doing it, okay? And I kept praying. I said, Lord, I've been so burdened about our outreach, about, you know, because we're not moving outward. Are you understanding me? And I've been so troubled about that. And, you know, I hope that you're sharing Christ with other people. I mean, I surely you're doing that because you were his ambassadors. But I hope you're sharing the good news wherever and whenever you have that opportunity. But we have an opportunity, and I missed it. And when I saw it, when I saw our mission field, and like I've been praying, Lord, what do we do? What do we do? And I'm thinking, and it's like God says, Bill, it's right under your nose. What's wrong with you? You're not even thinking correctly. And I know that some of you, now listen, you know, some of you are intimidated by big people, meaning I don't want to share the gospel with big people, not meaning big, just adults. Amen? But let me ask you a question. Can you share the gospel with little people? Listen to me. When the Lord, this week, when he laid it on my heart, and when he said, Bill, I mean, I'm telling you what the impression, I didn't hear a voice or anything. He says, you have the greatest mission field in Fort Worth. And I said, where? What are we doing? What do we need to do? He said, the greatest mission field that you have is what I've given unto you. I said, what is that? He said, the third through the fifth grade. I said, what? And he said, yeah, the kids in the after-school programs. And I started thinking, now listen to me. Listen, did you know that 85% of all people who come to Christ, 85% do so before they're 18 years of age? After 18 years of age, here's what happens. People hear the gospel so often, over and over and over, and they reject it, they reject it, they reject it. And you know what happens when that occurs? The heart gets harder and harder and harder. And it's harder to reach them. But you know, a faith of a child. Oh my gosh. I mean, come on. They're the easiest people in the world to win to Jesus. Amen? But our kids are different. Our kids are special. I'm talking about Love Never Fails International right now. Don't shut down. You listen to me. Listen, we have the greatest crop of kids that are just, that need to be loved, that need to be helped. We have a mission field and they are young and ready and their hearts have not, even though they're wounded and beat up and at risk and who knows what they've gone through in their life, they're still young enough, even though they're older in a way, to Jesus to save them. Amen. See, they're just waiting on you. You are their answer right now. Listen, the LNFI program is our mission field. And why I didn't see that before is beyond me. And I looked because I just kept it separate, you know, LNFI separate from the church, which it is. But I looked at that and I said, just listen. I want you to listen to some of these opportunities right now that where God can use you. Just listen up. It says, for example, we're 4 days a week, we're in our schools. We're there from 3 to 5 or 3:30 to 5:30, okay? Monday through Thursday. Now, listen, you can be a mentor. You can go by and just love a child. And you don't have to do it every day. You can just do it one time a week. Listen, children need you because they are hurting and they are wounded. And that is what God has given unto us. Amen? You know, I was over in one of the schools, I don't know if it's last week or the week before, and there was a little boy, you know, had you put your head on the desk, and he pulled his coat over his head. So I just thought, well, I'll just lay down too. You know, and I was looking at him, I was going, psst, psst. He wouldn't. I said, "Why do you got that coat on your? Come here." And so finally he wouldn't pull that thing off. And I said, "You ever heard a story about a chicken?" He pulled that down a little bit. I said, "I had a chicken." I said, "I woke up one morning there in my bed. It was Easter morning. I was 5 years old. I looked and there was a little blue chicken right in front of me in my bed." You know what I'm talking about? They still do that, don't they? They don't. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay. And I said, "You know what I called that chicken?" He said, "No." His head was coming out a little bit more out of the, I said, "I called him Blue." I said, "You know what happened to Blue?" He said, "No." He finally raised his head up. I said, "He became a rooster. Then he turned white." I said, "Then somebody killed him." Then he put his head back down. And I said, "I'll be back next week with another exciting story." I'll do anything to reach a child. Did you know LNFI is all about children? That's what we do. That's our whole heart. Children in Mexico, children here. Our at-risk children, whatever you want to call them, under-resourced, they're children who need Jesus. They're in the third grade, they're in the fourth grade, they're in the fifth grade, and they're hurting. You can be a mentor, you can come by, and that's a mission field for you. I'm going to come by for 2 hours once a week, and I'm going to love a child that never receives love. Or there's many other things. How about just driving a van full of hurting children on our field trips? You know, we take them, or you could even be a part of like a chaperone in the evenings when we take them to these special dinners, you know, because we, these people downtown Fort Worth, we just, like this, I forget the chef. What was that place we just went to? What was it? Chop House. I can't even afford to go there. The chef came out and prepared them whatever they wanted, and man, it was a wonderful time. Well, they were on the AB Honor Roll. Listen, last year in one of our schools, now listen, you have 16 kids in a program. Then when they give us these children, they're at risk. They're in trouble. Their conduct, their grades, they're all failing. Did you know that out of the 16, 15 went to the AB Honor Roll? Why? Because we care. Because we have people who say that they're waiting on us. They're waiting on you. See, you can make a difference. That is our mission field. That is our local mission field right now. And I look at that and say, you know what? You could show up. You could be a chaperone. How about we have any police officers in here? We need male role models. You can show up, you know, in your uniform, you know, and you can handcuff me and everything you want. Just, you know what I'm saying? You can tell them. They can look up to you. They need somebody. They need male role models. Are you a fireman or, you know, a plumber, truck driver, whatever, doesn't matter. Are you a lawyer? Well, never mind. Are you a military? They need to hear what you do. They need to say, "He's a man and he made it." They need to hear. You know, not only that, maybe you own a business. You could invite one of the schools, say, "Would you tour my plant or tour my business or whatever?" You could be a fundraiser. You know, there's so many things you could do in the mission field. It's for children. It's not about us today. It's about others. Amen. You know, yesterday I went and got a haircut, and the lady who cut my hair, she'd been cutting my hair for years. And before I got there, the Lord moved on my heart to say, "Ask her if she will let you set up an LNFI thing to raise money." So I started talking to her, and I said, "Yeah, I remember when I married you all those years ago." And yeah. "Remember when I baptized you?" Yeah. I said, "Well, I need your help." Yeah, she said, "I knew you were going to ask for something." I said, "Would you help my children?" I said, "Would you let me set up a thing here?" And all of, because I asked her, I said, "How many people come here a month?" She told me, I said, "How much can you get, milk them for?" You know what I mean? You know I'm teasing you, don't you? I said, "How much?" She said, "I'm one of the best fundraisers you'll ever have." And I said, "Thank you." She said, "Bring me the material." I said, "It'll be there soon, next week, whenever." You could be a fundraiser. It's not just only that, but you know what? Once maybe you could put up a sports camp on the weekend over in those schools. Listen, some of the schools are so bad. They're so bad that when you park your car, you park it in the confines of a 15, I think it must be 20 feet tall, the fence that goes around it. And not only what's so sad is that, you know, if we bring fruit or whatever to for them to eat because they're hungry, they don't eat until they get to school. And that one meal that they get may be the last meal that they eat that day. And they're going to go home to a dinnerless, parentless, empty home. They're our kids. And if we give them the food and they take it out, they'll be beat up on the way home. They'll take the food from them. They can't even wear their backpacks to their homes because they'll be stolen. We're making a difference. And you need to make a difference because God's called you to make a difference. You have the answer to every hurting person that in wherever you are, to the ends of the earth, you have the power, the authority, and you have the answer because you are His ambassadors. Amen? They are waiting on you. We have paid positions. You know, you might want to be a director. You might want to be an assistant director. And not only that, you know, one of the greatest needs, you know, what you is maybe you, God would lay it on somebody's heart to say, I'm going to pick this school out of all the schools or whatever, just pick one of them and say, these 15 kids are mine. And once a week or once a month, maybe a little dinner box with food in it that they can take home. Because that's maybe the only meal they get until they come to the school the next morning. So they'll have the school program where they get the food there, the free program. Listen, you say, well, Bill, school's nearly out. Well, yeah, get involved right now, and then you can get involved in our new program that we're creating right now for the 2013-2014 year. I'm talking about they are waiting on you, not only in your neighborhoods. You have a captive audience with these kids. You can reach out to them. You can love them. And yes, they're mean, some of them. And yes, their conduct is unbecoming. Yes, it is. But you know what? When you live in the environment that they live in, what do you expect? They give us kids that the schools have given up on. We don't give up on them because love never fails. We're there to help them. And just listen, they are waiting on you. You say, well, Bill, that's the school's problem. No, 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 loved one. That is our problem. Bill Collins, the vice president of Urban says this. It says schools aren't in the business of dealing with children being homeless or having dinner to eat, but churches are. So they should help. Saying schools are in the business of educating children, they can't do their job well if they're not doing the job of other people. Amen? The church, Christians, the one who first started the schools. Then we let the world have them. I look and I say, oh, Lord, listen, do you think Jesus cares about those kids? Oh, dear Lord, what a mission field. Whoever would think a mission field of third and fifth graders? See, listen, what's amazing. You can stop the, maybe when they, once they leave us, if they're not born again, who knows what's going to happen? Are you listening to me? You know, that one child, you just stop the next murder. The next crime, the next rape, the next little girl getting pregnant, or the next little girl didn't lose her virginity because of you. Because she had someone to talk to, someone to pray with maybe, and it's hard to get into these kids' hearts. They want to be loved. That's what a child wants. They want someone to love them. They want someone to look up to. They want someone to show them the way. And you're the answer. They're waiting on you. They're waiting on us, and God is waiting on us. Whenever the disciples came to the Lord and they were disputing with one another about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom, Jesus called them aside and he said this. He said, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. In other words, the greatness in the kingdom is not determined by status, but by giving and serving. Amen? And he said this, now listen, and then Jesus took a little child, probably a third grader, okay? Took a little child, and listen to what Jesus did. He set the child in the midst of them. And when he had taken the little boy up in his arms, Jesus said to them, whoever receives, or it could read, whoever welcomes, whoever shows kindness to one of these little children in my name, meaning on my behalf, Listen to what happens now. Anyone who receives one of these little children in my name receives me. Meaning, it is the equivalent of welcoming Jesus himself. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. It's all what a mission field we have. What a unique mission field that we have. Amen? Not only that, just listen to these statistics here. 50% of children in America will live with a single parent before reaching age 18. Think of that. Of all the crimes in America, 75% are committed by high school dropouts. 50% of the inmates on death row are high school dropouts. The U.S. teenage birth rate is 42.9 per 1,000 births, and that's the worst in the Western Hemisphere. The average adult in America reads at a fifth grade level. Listen to me. Our schools are failing. Our schools are no longer safe. But we have the answer. God is missing. Isn't it amazing when God 8 years ago called us to start this charity? I thought I was losing. You've heard me say something. I thought I was losing my mind. A charity. Oh, Lord, what? You know what? The schools are not going to let a church in. Amen? And you know the people that support Love Never Fails International, the foundations, the corporations, they're not going to give to a church. But boy, they will to a charity. Isn't God wise in all that he does? And now we're in the schools. And listen to me, we have a waiting list because we're a free program. We have a waiting list, but we don't have enough money and we don't have enough people. Think about that. But we're going to. You watch what God does. All the schools that we're in, and you know, we're even now working and considering because they want to open up a place, an LNFI program in Florida, and we're working with people there right now investigating that. There's so much that God is doing. The children are waiting on you. God is waiting on us. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to do this. I'm begging you to do this. After this service, and I'm not finished with my message. After the service, I want you to go to the main lobby. Please, go to the main lobby. There's an LNFI table that's set up there. And ask questions, get more information. Sign up to do one of those things. You can do it. You can make a difference in someone's life. If you can get to the child and you get to their heart, we have a program called Heart to the Home. You get into the child's heart, then we can get to the parents. Amen? And love them if they have a parent. Maybe their dad or mom, they're in prison. Maybe they're living with their grandmother or their uncle. We are going to make a difference, and we have been making a difference in their lives because we went and you need to go. They're waiting on you. And you know what? I didn't know this until Friday. And Ellen, if I had no idea, I was preparing this message. I found out Friday evening that three of our students are here today. And they're going to be at the table after the service. I want you to go meet them. It's Raven, Brianna, and Precious. And Precious is really precious, okay? I'm sorry. That's Princess. A generation of young children waiting to be loved, to be encouraged. Yes, to be educated. That's very important. They're waiting on you. Now listen, you might be the only Jesus they ever meet. You hear me? You might be the only Jesus they ever meet. They're waiting on you. But if you don't go, who's going to go? If we don't tell others about Christ, who will? The lost? Come on. That's our job. That's our calling. You know, as I'm closing, listen to me. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 24:11, it says, deliver, or literally rescue, deliver those who are drawn toward death and hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. These kids live in an environment of death all the time. They walk down the street and it's violent all the time. Drugs and stuff that's being sold or whatever's happening. Not in every school that we're in, of course. But you know what? What a mission field. What a place to go. How to change their lives. It says they're stumbling toward the slaughter. The word deliver means rescue. Will you rescue them? Will you love them? We have an opportunity. And you know, I don't need to tell you about the destiny of the lost, do I? I don't need to tell you what happens when a lost person dies, do I? I don't need to tell you, do I? No. You know, someone once asked William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, he asked a question. They said, Is it true that your training is the best training to win people to Christ? William Booth said, well, no. He said 5 seconds in hell would be the best training anyone could have to win people to Christ. Hell's a real place. You know, and I don't want to talk about hell. I don't even like to think about hell. But it is a real place. It's a place, Jesus said, that's outer darkness. It's a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't know what that means. It's a place, Jesus said, where the worm dieth not. I don't know what that means. It says, Jesus said, it is a place of everlasting punishment. Jesus, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. Amen. That he doesn't want anyone to perish if you're just believing in the Lord, coming to Christ. I look at that and say, oh Lord. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 11:30, he who winneth souls is wise. Let me read the amplified version from that, if I may. It says, he who is wise captures human lives for God as a fisher of men and receives them for eternity. That's a good word, isn't it? Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, he said to them in 1 Corinthians 9:16, he said, for if I preach the gospel, that's the good news. He said, I have nothing to boast of. Now listen to what Paul says. For necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. Paul was overcome with such an urgency. He had to be sharing the good news, that necessity. Listen, the gospel was laid upon him, and the gospel has been laid upon you and I. Amen? For us, we are his ambassadors. We have an obligation to this generation. I'm going to ask you a question. That when Jesus said, go therefore to all the world, has that command changed? No, it hasn't changed at all. You know what? The early church, they had to be told be told, be quiet. Don't say another word about Jesus. Don't preach in his name. Let this church never, ever be guilty of the sin of silence. We are under obligation to tell others about Christ. We have some kids. We have a local mission field. Not just your neighborhood, not just your workplace or your college or whatever you are. We have children. Every year, new ones come along. Next year will be a whole new crop. This is the first time in 8 years that we've not been able to go to camp. That's where we usually win the majority of them to the Lord, because it costs about $15,000 to go to camp, and it's always been supplied every year. God has supernaturally done so. And you know what? That's okay that we're not going this year. You don't want to ever be married to one thing. Amen? But we need to move forward into our mission field. You can love them. You can help them. You can change their life. You can change their destiny. You can open a heart that's been broken. You can speak into the life of a child. I don't know if there's anything greater than that. They're waiting on us. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name that there's no one like you. You know, and Lord, I don't know who's here and who's listening live right now. I don't know that everyone in this chapel is born from above, is a new creation in Christ. But if you don't know the Lord, if you've never asked Christ ever, if you've never asked Christ to come into your heart, to come into your life, now's your opportunity to have your sins forgiven, to be granted eternal life, to live forever and ever in heaven. We are sinners, and Christ died for sin, for our sin. He took our shame, our punishment. He took our place. If you don't know him, pray this prayer with me right now. Don't procrastinate. If you don't know the Lord, pray with me right now. Church, help me. Just say, Father, I am a sinner. I confess with my mouth, and I believe in my heart that Jesus is Lord. and God raised him from the dead. Father, you said, if I would really confess that and really believe that, you would save me. I believe. Jesus, be my Lord. Save me. I'm saved. In Jesus' name. As our heads are bowed, no longer looking around, very quiet, just a holy time, and Christians praying. If you prayed that prayer and asked Christ to come into your heart, don't come down here. That's not what I'm asking. But simply, as our heads are bowed, one more thing. By faith now, just lift your hand to the Lord, put it right back down and say, Bill, I prayed that prayer. I prayed that prayer this morning. God bless. That's right. Father, we just thank you then. We thank you for this day. We thank you for all that you've done. We thank you for these children. We thank you that they're in the mission field right under our feet, a captive audience, and we've passed it by. Lord God, thank you. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Stand to your feet with me, please.